light bulb green and one red for the porch. It sounds like a new thing for me because I don't know.
Welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Penny Paisley Penny Arcade. My name is Mo Abdelbaki, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2025. And oh boy, howdy, as it started off interestingly enough. No kidding, huh? How you doing? This is the first show of 2025. Today is the 8th of January. 1-2 Radio is back on the air. And along with it, c'est moi. That means I'm back. It does not. Those of you who speak French, you know that. And do I speak French? Well, I've been known to. Not very well, I must admit. Or admoi. That's not... Oh, God. I took French for 9 years total. 9 years of my life. And that's all I have to show for it. I took it through junior high, high school, and some college. And I know a few things. My mom spoke it quite fluently. But then she went to a French Catholic school in Alexandria, Egypt. And her sister actually went to that same school and ended up teaching there. So they spoke parlez-vous, you know. I'm kidding. I'm a little better than that. But I like French. I've always thought it might be nice to... live in France, you know. I always wanted to go to Paris, and I always thought it'd be nice to actually, you know, live in Paris and maybe in the French countryside around Brittany. I always thought Brittany might be a nice place. I don't know why. I mean, I have no idea why, you know. And I always thought if you just kind of went, you know, that'd be good enough. Robert Benchley, the American humorist, actually wrote a hilarious, I think, hilarious article on French. And it might be worth your while if you're into that sort of thing from the past. He was around in the 20s and 30s and 40s. I think some 40s, but a pretty funny guy, contemporary of Thurber and those people, Dorothy Parker. So on and so forth. The Algonquians. Pardon me. My allergies are just horrible because of the air quality, which is miserable. I'm not going to do that all show. Who knows? Maybe I will. I don't know. So how are you? How was your holiday? I hope it was good. I hope it was fantabulous. So... it was kind of, meh, as the kids are saying. Meh. I don't know. So-so. It was okay, fine. Okay, fine. It was just so-so. But it was fine. That's how it should be. You get to a certain age. I got to see my kids. That was nice. My granddaughter was in a play, The Wizard of Oz. And the nice thing about The Wizard of Oz, maybe I talked about this, was before the holiday. One of the nice things about it is when you're sitting in an auditorium watching a play that you know the story of very well, you know exactly how much time it's going to be before it's over. But I enjoyed every minute of it. I really did. It was just such a hoot, you know. It was such fun. And really kind of an amazing thing. I think it must be a company that sells the play as a kit, because they had music, and I looked online, and there were other, you know, places that put it on, other schools, and the music was exactly the same, and the background was more or less exactly the same. So I figured they must sell the kit, you know, and suggestions for outfits. And I thought, wow, this is kind of wild how they do this nowadays. Back in my day, when I was in the ninth grade, I was in a melodrama, and I played Carlton Bainbridge. I was the villain, and I had a mustache, big old mustache that was had a handlebar mustache and big old sideburns, and I went, you know, the whole thing. And I thought two things: one, I'm going to be in more plays, and I certainly was, and number two, I'm going to grow facial hair. And boy, did I ever grow facial hair. And guess what? Once I started, I was without it for one day. Not actually, just the beard for one day. And I was so horrified by what I saw that the next day I started it right back. People didn't know me. My own children didn't know me without a beard. It was like, oh, Daddy, grow it back. That's quite a story in itself. 8th of January, 2025. And before you know it, it'll be the 8th of January, 2026. I haven't even changed my calendars yet. I haven't been in my office all that much. I'm kind of slowing down what I do. Yeah, I am. I am. Why? Well, I don't know. Just have been. Been doing other things. Like what? Like working on my my Turkish ney practice. That's one of the things I've been doing. Your Turkish what? Turkish ney. It's a type of, it's spelled N-E-Y, and my flute. It's a flute. But I'm getting it down. Getting much, well, I'm getting better. I'm working a little bit on the kaula. That's another type of end-blown flutes. Finally getting the old anasazi flute, which is just a tube. It's not just a tube. It's a well-made, skillfully made flute made out of bird's-eye maple that I have had for a while. And I'm finally to the point where I can actually make it sound like something, unlike the thing I actually put on the air, which was like, what is this noise? And it's like, you go, Mo. That's, yeah, keep right on going, man. Keep right on going. So, yeah, I hope you guys are okay. Strange things happening in the news, in the air, in the world as it is. As it has been, and as it will be, as it will be. And, of course, you know, that's a thing, as it will be. Yeah. There's always this sense of, well, 2025. I don't know if other people have been doing predictions. I've sworn off doing these big prediction things for the year. I noticed that we didn't have a big prediction show where everyone came in and said, now's my prediction. I know a fella named Professor, what's his name? Oh, God. I mean, hell, Predicto. That's it. Professor Predicto, is that his name? He's from the past, but he talks about being in the future. And Professor Futuro, that's his name. Professor Futuro. And he has a lot of fanfare. And he was back about 1933, something like that. And he would say, in the future. And he'd do this with all this hubbub and fanfare and a big orchestra behind him. And he'd say, in the future. And he'd make all these predictions and stuff. Wild stuff. Like Kreskin. Kreskin, who just passed. Recently, I met George Kreskin once, and boy, when he shook your hand, He shook your hand. He'd pump it. You'd think that water was going to come out of your mouth, you know, because he was like priming a pump. And I just met him. I was in a magic shop in Boulder, Colorado, and he came in. He needed some stuff for a show he was going to do in Denver. And I guess he couldn't get the stuff in Denver, so he drove out to Boulder. Or had someone drive him and walked in, and I was just agog, absolutely agog. I was about 18, 19. I was 18 or 19. I was 19. And there he was, and he walked in, and he immediately shook everyone's hand. Gentlemen, he said, and boom, 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 and what a handshake. And he bought the stuff he needed and assumed that we were all magicians, which I guess we all were, and which immediately kind of told how he did a certain trick, which he was quite famous for, and it was like, holy mackerel. So that's how Kreskin does that very famous trick that he does. And he, you know, didn't have time to talk, really, and out the door he went, and I thought, man, that guy has got an energy unlike anything I have ever encountered. He was just so amazing. And I said, well, he is amazing. That's the amazing Kreskin. He is amazing. A friend of mine, when I was much younger, had the amazing Kreskin board game. And it was like an ESP board game, you know? You hear something crackling here. My office is not on fire, which is my wife's most horrific fear. I'm trying to turn a light on because I'm going to be doing something a little bit later that will demand I need a little more light. So that's what you're hearing. It's not the sound of a nice campfire in my office. But I did get it lit. So there we are. But, yeah, kind of a fascinating thing. Kreskin, who could claim he could see into the future, but he was, in fact, a magician. Kind of a cool guy, I think. They made a movie starring John Malkovich, and it was the amazing Buck something, not Buck Henry. That was another guy. I never met Buck Henry, although I did interact with him in Mardi Gras 1977, Saturday Night Live. You can go to my podcast, which I haven't done anything new in that in years, and look at the show, the story I did on Mardi Gras 1977 called Who Threw Those Beads? Not to spoil it, but it was 'Twas I Who Threw Those Beads. I'm forever encased in history. Saturday Night Live, 1977. You can see it if you could find it. I can't find it. It's you got to pay for it. I'm not paying to see myself do something stupid that I did some 50, almost 50 years ago. But that was me. I did it. It was, you know, it's amazing what you do after too much MD 2020, a type of wine, yes. And I'm pretty good at whining, but that's a different story. So, if you're looking up in the sky, it's pretty spectacular. Full moon will be this coming January 13th. I guess that's Monday. And that will be the wolf moon. The wolf moon. And probably ought to be relatively cold. It's been cold around here lately. Snowed yesterday. And it's probably snowy where you are, more or less. So, strange things going on if you keep up with the news. My wife decided, after watching one of our pundit shows, that she doesn't want to watch them anymore. And I'm up with her, whatever she wants to do, you know, try to keep her happy. That she doesn't want to watch them. And I said, fine, whatever you want to do. I find them to be extremely bizarre, you know. And I watched, we're watching, you know, a comedy type thing, late night. And we record them because we can't do late night since we have a dog who is still pretty much puppy and likes to get up pretty darn early. So we get to bed pretty darn early, and we record it. And he did a thing, and he showed part of our incoming president's sweat conference. That's what came through my mind. Made me sweat. That's for darn sure. I was sweating as I was watching it, but news conference. And why an incoming president is giving news conferences, there's no confidence in my book, but conferences, and I was like, whoa, this is insane. At least that's my opinion. It's not the opinion of 1-2 Radio or probably anyone else. Maybe it is yours, I don't know. But I thought, you know, this stuff, I was so over it, you know. There were some things that were said that are just kind of, I'm hearing gongs going off and cuckoo clocks and steam whistles going off. And I'm thinking, oh my God, oh God, we have to go through this again. And it's like, geez, Louise. And I thought, what is going to be the deal here? Just what is going to be going on? And I thought, well, you know, maybe the thing to do. Sounds like the beginning of Little Darlin' by the Diamonds, but it isn't. Is ask someone or something that I have trusted for the majority of my life, and that is the I Ching. So I thought it might be fun today, and if not fun, perhaps terrifying, to ask the I Ching what the heck is 2024 going to unwrap like. Okay, and I don't know if you're like I don't want to know, Mo. Well, then you know you just pack up your bindle and just pick up your Kindle. And that's what you can do. But I am going to go ahead and do the coin tosses. And I think I'll just, maybe we'll do a one or two or three or four or five or 100. I have a little gadget here that I happen to like very much. It's my latest I Ching. Now, there's so many darn ways to cast the I Ching. If you're looking for a good, I think this is a damn good way to cast the I Ching. It's the coin toss, the regular 1, 2, 3 coins. You can see my version of it on the YouTube. I haven't monetized my thing. I guess I should. I've gotten a lot of subscribers, and I don't get a penny for it. I've been told that you can make a few bucks, but haven't made a penny. I haven't made a penny at all in a long time, you know. But I have a page. It's Mo Abdelbaki. You can find it pretty easily. But it's the simple, I don't know what it's called, but just go to YouTube and put in my name, Mo, and then Abdelbaki spelled the usual way. I'm kidding. It's Abdelbaki, which actually is the usual way because that's how my dad chose to use it when he came to this country. Otherwise, it could be spelled. He spelled it differently when he first came to this country, but then he standardized it, changed it, and that's how just about everybody with my last name now spells it. Because it actually, other people came who weren't related to us, and they said, well, how should we spell it? And they said, oh, that's how this group of people spells it. You know, in that part of the world, it's an Islamic name, and that it's, they don't spell their name. They don't take names the way that other people do. For example, my name is actually not that. It's not my last name, really. In this country, it is. But over there, my name is something different. So I always find that different. Or quite interesting, my name is actually Muhammad Zachariah. I like that, you know. But I don't go by that here. But over there, I would be known as Muhammad Zachariah, you know. And because my name is Muhammad. And my mom said, I'm going to name you the most common name in the world so that you don't stick out. No, that's not it at all. There's a reason for it. And I was supposed to be a doctor, and you know, boom, there you go, Mom, not a doctor, you know, but kind of freaked her out, I think. But so there's so many different ways to, you can use dice. Like two different colored dice, and I use a red and a black die. But oh, back to the YouTube. Go youtube.com, and there will be a couple of things on the I Ching. One is how to use six coins Chinese coins or regular coins. And then one is different. That's a Tibetan takeoff on it. And at least I was, in my studies, I found out that was one way that the Tibetans do it. And it's a very quick way, and it's a kind of an unconventional way, but I've found it to be quite accurate. Because the I Ching doesn't genuinely care about how you come to it. It will give you a good answer, because that's what it does. It's very fast, and you can do it quickly in a restaurant while you're waiting for a table or whatever the case may be. I've used it for decades. There is another way to do it, and that is with the three-coin system. Now, there are many different variations on the three-coin system, but the most popular one is with three coins, and that's the one that I've put on, and it's very, I think, very completely described. So it's not confusing, and I teach what I call the minority system there, okay? The minority rule, and people have been ranting and raving about how clear it is, and except for some people who just, you know, don't like that. And I, in this thing, I say, you know, like about a billion times, and this one guy just goes absolutely just ape manure. He just goes nuts telling me how angry he is that I say, you know, so often. And right, I say right a lot too. Well, you know, maybe I was a little nervous putting it together. And he just goes, and this guy's like a some sort of teacher, and he's supposed to be teaching calmness and awareness, and he like loses his cool. And I thought, oh, I'm sorry, man, that I made that happen. But there's a lot of different ways to do it with dice. But if you want to learn how to cast the I Ching with three coins, it's actually a very, very clear, and it's on YouTube. And like I said, I'm not getting a penny for it, but it is a way to learn it, and learn it very clearly, and it's good. I'll just say that. I am biased, but I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe if I watched it, I'd go, oh, God almighty, what did I do telling them to watch this? But I don't think so. I know it's pretty good. People still watch it, even though it's like, it's old. I mean, I did it a few years ago, and it's still, you don't have to look at me. It's just my voice, you know. There it is, I said. That's right. And some guy challenges me on calling one side of the Chinese coin yang when he says it's the inside. But I got it from Wilhelm, and I went ahead and corrected it on the front page. And then I went through and said, where did I get this idea? And I got it from Wilhelm. So I corrected that and said, I'll stick with it, you know. So let's not worry about picking nits, you know. And there's a lot of nitpicking to go around. People, you know, get things kind of stuck somewhere, usually in an orifice, and I'm just not in the mood for that sort of thing. So there are so many different ways to do it. I've used many different ways. You can use cards. You can use dice. There's a site called Clarity. What is it called? Clarity Online. Maybe it's a British site in which there's a fellow, he just has all these different ways to do it. If I remember, and I have to admit, the steel trap that was once my memory is now not only missing parts, but it's also pretty rusted up. It's phenomenal. I mean, I don't think I have any, you know, problems. I'm just getting older, you know. And as you get older, you begin to forget things. And you begin to realize that what was once a fine cheese is now like a Swiss cheese is full of holes. So that's just, and that even, that should tell you something right there. So I have this gadget now. It's actually by a thing called Coppertist Woo, and I saw it on Facebook, and the guy just keeps, they're Chinese, and they make metal things, and some of their stuff is kind of cool, and I've been tempted in the past, but as soon as I saw this, I ordered one, and it's a turtle shell, and the more you know about the I Ching, and the more you know about how it's the basis of feng shui and it's the basis of a lot of Chinese culture. The more you begin to realize how important the turtle was, and the tortoise shell, to the Yellow Emperor and the Fuxi and all of that. And so it comes with this little spring-loaded tortoise shell that you can put these three tiny Chinese coins that they make that go with it are. And it's really beautifully made. And on the bottom of the shell is the, and it's not real, it's metal, is the Lo Shu, and that's a map. And but anyway, that these are the little coins in the thing, and you open it up and they fall out, and then you do the divination. So I really saw it and I said, oh, this is something for me, because there are so many different ways, but I just kind of fell in love with it. And if you wanted to, you could wear it around your neck. They make a really tiny one and a medium one, and then a rather large one, and I went with the medium one. So I'm just telling you, that's just what the latest, what, you know, I Ching kind of gadget I had. And then I'm going to use a set of Yao sticks, and Yao sticks are they're sticks that have the I Ching on it. The lines moving and so on. I'm not going to explain them exactly, but it helps me to keep track of what I cast, okay? And if you go to my YouTube thing and you watch it, you'll get a little better understanding of that. So, and that's enough talking about it. So, let's talk about what question to form. I'm not on the 1-2 Facebook page, because I'm just not there. Okay, so it's that simple. Yeah, do you see where Zuckerberg is taking away the fact-checking? Oh, what a surprise. Oh, no more fact-checking? I wonder why he's doing that. Was there some... Oh, isn't that interesting? Huh. Yeah. We don't need facts. Do we need facts? Do we really need facts anymore? Oh, gosh, no. I don't think we need facts. Nah, that's not important. Are facts important for anything anymore? They're not going to be for a while, I think. Probably not. Probably not. So it's going to be an interesting few years. At least that's my thing. So I was watching that thing this morning, and I just thought, oh, God. You know. And it's not a fear thing. It's just like, do we have to deal? Yeah, we kind of do have to deal with this. So I think a question might be, because it's the Book of Changes. So this is kind of a little, you know, discussion about, well, how do you ask a question? Because we're not asking something like, what's going to happen? I don't think that's a good question. I just don't think that's an appropriate question. What's going to happen? I've never liked a question like that. We say, how are things going to change over the next 4 years? And what will be the outcome? Will they be better? Will they be... I'm not never going to ask if they're going to be worse. Because I don't think that's a possibility. They're just things change, you know. What will be... I'm shaking coins. What will be... What will be the result of the next 4 years? Not what's going to happen, but how will the changes of the next 4 years enrich us? I like that. Because I think enrichment is a probability and a possibility. So here we go, the first cast. And so I'm going to call these out, okay? And we'll look at this, and my eyes are just, it's not as bright in here as I wish. Oh, I have a flashlight right here. Oh, my God, that's blinding me. Okay, so the first coins are, I wish my eyes were better. Well, I don't know if I wish they were better, but, oh, so that's the, okay, so we have Yang, Yin, and I have to, these coins are a little too fancy. Okay, so we have Yang, Yang, and Yin. So Yin is the minority. So the first coin, or the first line, is going to be a Yin line. So it's just called the minority rule for a simple reason. Because whatever the first, whatever the minority is, and we have two Yang coins and a Yin coin, so the first line is a Yin. Simple, simple, simple. So I will pick up these coins. And very nice. I like this outfit. Very nice. And I just put them back into the spring-loaded. So I just put them back in. And thinking of the question again, the next 4 years, what changes will come that will enrich us, that will enhance us, and how will the outcome be? All right. There we go. Let's see what we get this time. And we have, let's see, Yang, Yang, and Yang. So three Yangs, which is called Old Yang. Old Yang, if you will, if you like it that way. So Old Yang, Old Yang. He has a sign, Old Yang sign. Happy New Year. So that means it's going to turn into a Yin. All right, we put the coins back in. Go into the tortoise, you three. All right. And I usually try not to think during this process. I actually try not to think all day. And I try not to think most of the time. Thinking gets me in trouble, you know. All right. Oops. All right, there we are. There's the third cast. And the third cast gives us two Yins and one Yang line, or one Yang coin. So that means the minority rule, one Yang, so that the third line is a Yang line, Yang. So we have the first trigram. Now what that means is that the first trigram, which is three lines, is going to be Yin on the bottom, Yang right above it, and another Yang right above it. But the Yang line in the middle is moving Yang. So we don't have to, you know, don't work too hard on this. This means that it is known as Sun. Sun, who is the eldest daughter. The eldest daughter, okay? Once again, don't worry about it. We're not going to worry about it. We're just going to say, okay, that's numero uno. Now, we take the three coins, we put them back, we don't throw them in the fountain, because we're not in Rome. Okay? All right. Shake them up. Shake them up. And I'm just not thinking except about the question. How will things be enhanced? Please, let there be some enhancement. Okay? And not just complete annoyance over the next, you know, so that could happen too. All right. Right away, I can see that we have one Yin, which gives us the minority rule. One Yin means we have a Yin line. A Yin. Okay? Let's put them back in the little tortoise. It doesn't have a head and all that stuff. It's just the shell, so you're not, you know, looking at this whole gruesome thing or anything. It's actually very pretty. It's brass-colored. You can also get just silver-colored. I chose the brass. Give it an old world look and dump the coins out. And once again, here we have three coins. And once again, we have a Yin minority rule. So we have a Yin. I know this is live radio, just absolutely fascinating. I know you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, I could have been doing my laundry or cleaning out a cat box. I know you're thinking that, but it'll hopefully be worth it when we see what we have. And toss them out. Once more, Yin. A minority rule, one Yin coin, and the rest are Yang. the other two, I should say. So here we go with my Yao sticks, and we have three yin lines, three, which is earth energy. The first one is wood energy. So we have the first one being Sun, the eldest daughter, and the second one on top of that is the earth. Okay, that's the earth itself, the receiving. So we think about that for a second. I'm going to put these away because they're tiny, and if I drop them in the office, well, God only knows what will happen. I might never see them again. Put them back in the shell here. All right. And so we think to ourselves, we have the wind, because that's what Sun is. It's the wind. It's known as the penetrating. The penetrating. Because the wind goes everywhere. Gets everywhere. And below is there. So it's there below. And above is the earth. So we think about this. Now, luckily, we have the book. We have the book. And the book I'm using, there are thousands of books, tens of thousands of books on the I Ching. But the one I like the very most, the very best, is the Wilhelm book. Richard Wilhelm, who was a German scholar who became really well acquainted with a Taoist monk. And in the back of the book, the very back of the book, there is a, and I talk about this on my thing there, my YouTube. There is a, I'm tapping it. There is a outfolding gadget that tells you, okay, look at the upper trigram, and a trigram is three lines, and we look at Kun, which is the three lines of the broken line, which is Kun, and we look at that, and then we see that we find Sun, which is the bottom, and we say, oh, okay, so that's the 40, and I should know these all by heart, I certainly have in the past, the 46th, oh, I can't see this, it is, has to be, the 46th hexagram. A hexagram is a combination of six lines. So we go in the book here, and we go to the 46th hexagram. They're all numbered, so it's good for us. Okay? We go to the 46th hexagram. And I'm going to do just that. And what I do is I go, and sometimes I know them right away, and sometimes I don't, and I have to take off my glasses here to read it, because I'm wearing computer glasses that help me to see the computer, but not to read. So I will go to the 46th hexagram, and there's no harm in having a book, although sometimes when you read it, when you see the hexagram and the trigrams involved, you'll get the answer right away. This is called Sheng, pushing upward. Pushing upward. And remember, I asked, how are we going to be enhanced? How will our time at the end of this 4 years, or this year, not this 4 years, I did not ask that far ahead. The I Ching might slap you on the wrist for trying to say something that far ahead. Then again, it might not. You never know. So I take Wilhelm's book, and I just start kind of reading, and I just say, okay, pushing upward, number 46, the receptive earth and the gentle wind, or not penetrating, wind, wood. The lower trigram, Sun, represents wood, and the upper Kun means the earth. Linked with this is the idea that wood in the earth grows upward. Okay. This pushing upward is associated with effort. Just as a plant needs energy for pushing upward through the earth. That is why this hexagram, although it is connected with success, is associated with effort of the will. In progress, the emphasis is on expansion, Pushing upward indicates rather a vertical ascent, direct rise from obscurity and lowliness to power and influence. Well, that doesn't sound like the guy himself or the people around him, because they're certainly not obscure. They're kind of a big deal. So we're asking about ourselves, aren't we? We're not asking about them. We're asking about the year. We're asking about us, the judgment. There's always a judgment. Pushing upward has supreme excess. Success, not excess, although there's some of that too. One must see the great man. Fear not. Now, the great man is not a president or something. It's us. It's the great man is the greatness within us. The great man can be someone that you respect. The great man can be someone who is wise. It's the sage. Someone who has studied something. Someone who understands something. So you need to understand that. Fear not. Oh, I like that. Right in the middle of the judgment. Fear not. Departure toward the north brings good fortune. Now, the north is a cold part of the place, so it's probably departure toward the north. I'm going to interpret that just right off the bat as start now, because the north is the cold area, and this is, in fact, that time of year. So I'm saying we need to begin whatever we're going to do soon, like right away. I like that. Makes me feel good. And this is Wilhelm. That was the I Ching. This is Wilhelm. And I love his explanations, because he worked with this Taoist monk, this Taoist priest. He really did. He worked. He spoke to this guy. And Wilhelm was a missionary. But man, he got into the I Ching. Wowie kazowie, did he. I mean, great honk. He did a lot of really amazing scholarly work. And he did a lot of other, and so did his son on the I Ching. Great stuff. Great stuff that they put out on the I Ching that they brought to the West. Quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. He says, the pushing upward of the good elements encounters no obstruction and is therefore accompanied by great success. Now, if you look at the, what you're shown. And for those of you who have this book, it's the 46th hexagram. I'm not going to get into that. The pushing upward is made possible not by violence, but by modesty and adaptability. Well, we know right away that's probably not going to be seen in the government right now. Okay, so that's the beauty of this. It's saying, Mo, don't focus on that stuff. Focus on yourself. Focus on what you do and what's important to you, not upon this other stuff. It's important for you to focus on your accomplishments and doing what's important to you. Thank you. Thank you, Richard Wilhelm. Since the individual is borne along by the propitiousness of the time he advances, he must go to see authoritative people. He need not be afraid to do this, because success is assured, but he must set to work for activity. This is the meaning of the South brings good fortune. Oh, departure toward the South, I read it wrong, brings good fortune. Oh, I see. So the South is actually warm. So I'm going to say I misread that, but I still think the time is now. Why would you want to wait, right? So you have to find what makes you feel good. So maybe what warms you. Still the same idea. Take my word for it. The image. And I love the images. These are all nature, right? Within the earth, wood grows. The image of pushing upward. Thus, the superior person of devoted character heaps up small things in order to achieve something high and great. God, I got to get my eyes checked. I'm actually overdue. Adapting itself to obstacles and bending around them, wood in the earth grows upward without haste and without rest. Thus, too, the superior person is devoted in character and never pauses in his or her progress. Well, Lovely. Lovely. So let's not get sidetracked. Let's not get pushed aside by this. I understand what this is saying. I was feeling truly disheartened watching this press conference. I was like, do I really have to put up with this again? Do I really have to put up with this guy? Oh my God, I don't want to. I was just like, oh my God, you know, we're going to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. And then he starts talking about acreage. You know, if you live in a house with half an acre or a quarter of an acre or a full acre and multiply that times 625 million, it's like an ocean. And it's like, it'll be a wonderful. Then it's like, what are you like talking about? God, we can't pay him. I was just like seething. I was like, what is going on here? And it's double talk, and who knows why, and is there really a reason? And I got all frothy, you know, I just got all frothy. And then I realized it doesn't matter. None of it matters. I made a vow to myself that I wasn't going to pay any attention to this stuff, and I was just going to let it go. And so this is telling me, Mo, what are you doing? Let it go. Thus, too, the superior person is devoted, and superior doesn't mean, oh, I'm superior. No, it just means you just don't let this type of thing get to you, is devoted in character and never pauses in his or her progress. So that's the whole point. We are going to benefit by practicing, by just saying, oh, la-di-da, 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 la-di-da. Now, remember, we had a moving line. And that happens when we have old yin or old yang. And what happens? What is old yin or old yang? That is when we have three coins that are all head, 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 tail, tail, tail. Okay? And that means that it is so stressed out, it is so powerful, it is so full of one energy or the other that it must change into the other. And that was the second line. The second line. So we go to nine in the second place, as it's called. There's a reason for that. I won't get into that. If one is sincere, it furthers one to bring even a small offering. No blame. Well, I won't explain all what that means, but here it says, here a strong person is presupposed. It is true that one does not fit in with one's environment. No kidding. Inasmuch as one is too brusque and pays too little attention to form. Isn't that the truth? But as one is upright in character, one meets with response. And one's lack of outward form does no harm. Here, uprightness is the outcome of sound qualities of character, whereas in the corresponding line of the preceding hexagram, it is the result of innate humility. So what this is saying is, okay, you know what? You and I are different than other people. Righto? Righto. And we are not going to get along with everybody, just as long as we are okay. We may be brusque, but we have to be who we are. And as long as we're not, as long as we're not, we have to be upright, and we have to be okay in our character. So we can't be complete snoids, if you know what I mean. We can't be, you know, complete jerks. We just can't do that. But we have to be true to ourselves. And if we can do that, we can prosper. So we have to be moral. We have to be just. And we can't have an ethical lacking. Okay? That's very important. We don't know what's going to happen exactly in the next year. We don't know what the real changes are going to be. So we may be viewed as very strange and very, very different. But as long as we are upright, in other words, we can be brusque, We can be whatever. But as long as we stand strongly, as long as we are strong, and as long as we are ethical, we'll do just fine. And we'll grow, and we'll do just fine. So this will be a very good year for those of us who are the way we are. We will push upwards, like bamboo growing, growing. And that's the image, is of bamboo specifically, growing through the earth. And bamboo grows, can grow up to 3 inches an hour. We can grow quickly, or we can be like a slower growing plant. It depends upon the environment. It depends upon the surroundings. So you and I have to be aware of our surroundings this year. And we have to judge, based upon those surroundings, what is the safest way to be. Okay? So the I Ching is saying it's going to be a good year for us. And then we look at what this changes to. And what we have is we have the youngest son, changes to the youngest son, which is a very different hexagram. Gen. So we go back to the back of the book. Right? And we find Gen on the bottom. And across to Gun, we have 15, which is modesty. Okay? Modesty, the 15th hexagram. And that one is very to the point. And it kind of goes hand in hand with this one. And we're kind of low on time, but what it is saying, it is that it creates success and that we need to carry things through. It says this hexagram is made up of Gen, keeping still, the mountain, with Gun. The mountain is the youngest son of the creative. It is the representative of heaven on earth. It dispenses the blessings of heaven, the clouds and rain that gather around its summit, and therefore shines forth radiant and heavenly light. This shows what modesty is and how it functions in great and strong people. The earth stands above. Lowliness is a quality of the earth. This is the very reason why it appears in this hexagram as exalted, by being placed above the mountain. This shows how modesty functions in lowly, simple people. They are lifted up by it. It is the law of heaven to make fullness empty, and to make full what is modest. When the sun is at its zenith, it must, according to the law of heaven, turn toward its setting, and at its nadir, it rises toward the new dawn. It's quite an image. It's quite an image. The image of modesty. Thus, the superior person reduces that which is too much, and augments that which is too little. The person weighs things and makes them equal. It goes on and on. It's well worth reading. Okay, this is a powerful hexagram. And in the I Ching, once you've read the image and the judgment, you stop on the moving. And this is the change, is that what will happen is that if we go through this process and we grow, we will become modest in a world of immodesty. And what we are seeing now, right now, is incredible immodesty. And I think you know what I'm talking about. But we will gain from this because we will find that it is much better to be modest than immodest. It is much better to be someone who is humble than someone who is a braggart. And there is more power in that humility than there is in that lack of judgment, in that need to stretch the truth constantly for self-aggrandizement, and that there is more true power in that lack of discipline than there is in the ability to hold one's strength inward, than there is to exhaust oneself by stretching that truth. This is about personal growth. This is about this. I love this. The destinies of men and women are subject to immutable laws that must fulfill themselves. But each person has in his or her power to shape their fate according to their behaviors as they expose themselves to the influence of benevolent or of destructive forces. When a person holds a high position and is nevertheless modest, it shines with the light of wisdom. If he or she is in a lonely position and is modest, they cannot be passed by. Thus, the superior person can carry out their work to the end without boasting of what he or she has achieved. Oh, my God. It's beautiful. This is about us. This is about our year and how we can benefit. If you have this Wilhelm book, if you don't, I think it's online, but you should buy it. I've had mine since I was 33. I'm 70 this year. This book is old, but it's much older than I've had it. It's a real book of wisdom. And on that, I have to say goodbye because I'm out of time. It is with great humility that I thank you for listening, and great joy that I tell you how much that I love you. Welcome back. It's a joy to be here. I wish you all peace and love, and I'll talk to you next week. Take care. It's going to be a good year. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July. Yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, yeah. Yeah, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a...